One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Well, good morning, good morning. Judith, you there?
I'm here, I'm so here.
Yeah, you're so loud, you're actually echoing and echoing all the way from Oxfordshire. I don't know quite how that's physically possible, but well done. What we're doing this morning, Judith, is we're starting the show slightly differently because last week I foolishly said that I would write some lyrics to the theme tune.
Yes, you did. I'd remembered that. I thought that was terribly keen of you. Well done.
You sent me a memo saying, have you remembered to write the lyrics to the theme tune?
A memo? I thought you mean an email.
No, but yes. I haven't, Judith. I haven't done that, but I'll do it right now. Trouble is, you know that there are some things I can do and some things I can't do. And one of the biggest things that I can't do is anything musical.
Yes, I noticed that. And that follows through into dance, as I recall, doesn't it? Yes, you have got it. Yes, it's not your strong suit.
I can dance. I could dance like a dervish. I can throw some moves. What I can't do is follow choreography.
Yes.
Dance floor.
I don't think I've ever seen you on the dance floor.
I danced at your birthday. You know, your 60th birthday when you had a fancy dress party. Yeah, I danced I danced like, people started clapping. They formed a circle around me and started clapping.
I used to get paid.
I think we were formed two different circles.
Well,
I used to get paid for dancing in nightclubs.
Never.
Truth stories. Yeah,
I used to do. Bloody hell.
I used to dance on pop videos back in the 80s, and I used to get into clubs in Manchester when I was at drama school because I used to dance, and they used to go, oh, here she comes. She'll get up and dance. She'll get everyone going.
How did I not know this? And how come we have never thrown some shapes, as the young people say?
I don't want to dance
on a dance floor together.
I like dancing by myself. Don't want to dance on my I've made up some lyrics. I have to say that I did make them up on the spot when you sent me that email. So these are the words. We're going to read them out so people can write them down. And then we're going to sing them. And we've got no tune to sing them to because they don't fit in with our theme tune. Mm. So it's older and wider, we're better than the rest. Go on, you do the next line.
Like that. Older and wider, we've got hairy chins and really saggy breasts.
Yeah, we're older and wider, and that's why we're the best. The best. Okay, that's the first verse.
Very good.
I'm not sure there's going to be a second verse, but we're just going to sing that now to a tune
and
that's
in
our
own heads. Instruments. So yeah, don't forget, my suggestion was that we had our own homemade instruments that we, you know, resourcefully got from round. I don't know what you've got, and you don't know what I've got, but feeling we've picked up the same thing.
This is mine.
Okay, and here's mine. And then afterwards we can guess. Afterwards we should guess what each other's instrument is.
This is so much fucking fun.
I think we're going to start the whole nations at it.
Who'd have thought that, you know, once upon a time we were sophisticated women coming into the West End doing our things, and now we are reduced to two gibbering fools making up songs and shaking things that we're going to try and guess.
It's desperate.
Right, it's really desperate.
Okay.
So let's get this over and done with.
I'm going to count us in because I fancy the sound of that. One, two, three, four.
Older and wider, we're better than the rest. We've got hairy chins and really saggy breasts. Yeah, we're older and wider,
and that's why we're the best.
Oh,
We forgot the instruments. We were supposed to be doing the instruments at the same time.
We couldn't do two things at the same time. I'd have fallen off my chair.
We couldn't
do that. So I'm going to... Right, you give your instrument a shape for me.
Yeah, yeah. And people, the gang at home might be wanting, you never know, to guess at the same time, okay?
Well, here it is.
What do you think?
Right, it's something in a jar, Judith.
Yes, it is. Yes,
it's something... and I think it might be buttons in a jar.
Buttons? No, no.
Not buttons. No, is it? No. Is it a kitchen ingredient?
It
in
is
the
a kitchen. Yes, okay. It has been sourced from the kitchen.
Yeah, mine's been sourced from the kitchen.
I thought it might be. We'll guess mine first, and then we'll go into yours. Go on.
Okay.
What do you think?
Dried peas.
Close.
Pasta.
Absolutely hot. What sort? You get a bonus point for guessing what sort.
Rigatoni. Is it rigatoni?
I'm not sure what rigatoni are like, but I think it's close. No, it's actually penne.
Is it the spiral? Oh, penne.
No, it's not penne. But you were very good to guess that it wasn't spaghetti, you see, wasn't it? I think you get 9 out of 10. I'm giving you 9 out of 10 of that. Right, come on, let's hear yours. Right, go on. It's a packet.
No, it's not actually.
Isn't it? Go on, do it again.
Remember, this might not be quite as interesting for people at home as it is for us, because we're naturally very competitive. We want to play this to win, and we know what we're like. So we play this to the death, but I don't think we can really... It's a plastic jar. That's why it sounds a little... It's a plastic jar.
Right. Stop giving me clues a minute. I want to guess. Yeah. Is it from that horrible cupboard that I know of? That's absolutely. You open it, it's like fours all over you, full of rice. Yeah, and yeah, is it a pulse? Is it like
no?
A lentil?
But it's no. I'm gonna look. It's got a clicky lid like this. That's the clicky lid, and inside the lid, there's holes for these things to come out of. And it's a seasoning, Judith. I'm going to give you clues because even
so. Salt and pepper. Is it salt and pepper?
It's the second one. It's the peppercorn.
I know what it is. Yeah. It's the peppercorn jar. Jar of peppercorn.
Jar. It's jar of peppercorns.
Makes a lot of noise, doesn't it, for that? Yeah. It punches out the sound. That does.
I don't know why Fleetwood Mac have never played the peppercorn. I don't know why the Rolling Stones haven't got someone on a jar of rice or pasta in the corner.
We have lost it, haven't we, Jenny? I think if ever there was an example that we have fucking lost it.
I've had such a terribly difficult week this week.
Go on.
What sort of week have you had, Judith?
Yes. Fed up. Cross. Yeah. Yeah. Go on, I'm even more than normal, actually.
I also resent the weather if it's not perfect. I really look at it and I go, "Oh, you fucking weather! Come on, you fucking git! Oh, fuck off your clouds!" And then the nation's mood goes with the weather. You know, you can imagine sort of having an emotional weather map read to you every morning on the BBC News. You know, with somebody going, "Ah, this week the country will mostly be discontent and anxious. There'll be outbreaks of frustration, money worries, plus prolonged spells of depression and a general atmosphere a bit pissed off. Because that's how I've been feeling."
Yeah. That would sum it up. I think you'd need a front of disappointment. I think we'd need to know.
Coming in.
You know,
big
do you know what I mean? Because
actually,
I think disappointment is very underrated as a... you know, it's a bad mood. So, yeah, I think... But great idea. Mind you, the long-term forecast isn't looking good, is it? I mean, it really is not.
I can't look that far. Oh. I really can't. I'm opening a can of Diet Coke. That's just another sound effect for you here.
So soon.
Yeah, I know.
After about half an hour, my God.
There's no rules. There's no rules anymore.
No. But being pissed off sort of... I'm just thinking about the Grumpy franchise, as we like to call it. You know, what we did all those years ago that did so well. I suppose that worked, didn't it? Because actually our age group, you know, kind of rage, anger, being pissed off, disappointment, it's kind of, you know, it's what hits you, you know, when you get of a certain age. It's kind of sets in.
Yeah, I think the thing is, right, we're naturally quite enraged, you and I. You know, that's sort of our default position. We sort of, you know, even in peace times, we went out looking for it. It's just that the grumps have changed. I mean, in the olden days, we could get grumpy just about very small things, like being given... One of the things that used to really infuriate me was going to a posh restaurant and then bringing me a water glass, water glasses on the table that were hot from the dishwasher.
That used to get up, because
as soon as you poured your water in, it just went tepid and melted your ice cubes. You know, that is so petty because once you've had a pandemic, once you've had a pandemic in your lifetime, it kind of puts the smaller niggles into perspective. It does a bit.
Yeah, yeah, which is good, you know, which is good.
And yet now, where are you on masks, Judith? That's what's got me going.
That's tipped me over the edge this week because I tend to, you know, I do a lot of snooping and a lot of my kind of... You know, part-time amateur policing.
I think you're borderline professional. Actually, I think you know, in terms of the constabulary, it's Cressida Dick at the top, and then it's you, Judith.
Well, listen, we talked about it before, but you know, I don't know why they don't issue us with a fucking uniform. But anyway. So, yeah, from the bike is where I'm doing my...
So you're roving. Roving community policewoman, Judith Holder.
I know. Well, the first problem is the fly tipping that's happening around here because, you know, I think because the tips were closed for ages. But I don't know why it's worse than it's ever been. So there's a lot of that.
We've got quite a... How many mattresses... I mean, there's something about mattresses that make them breed on the street. I mean, we went for a short walk and I think I counted 7 fucking mattresses.
You did, honestly.
No, that's an exaggeration. Well, there were 3,
Judy. Yeah, of
course
it is, but, you know, yeah. Yeah.
3 but within a mile.
Yeah, no, well, here we're talking concrete. We're talking great bloody piles of concrete, fridges. I mean, what is wrong with us all? And so there's a lot of that from the bike at the moment. There's a lot of kind of me slowing down and thinking,
to look
why
at
are
your fly tipping black
spots. Why are you parking there? I might just loiter here. And you know, I did that once, and I might have told you this before, but I thought somebody, because they tucked themselves in to buy a gate, you know, on my little route to Whitney. Yeah. And I thought, I know what you're doing. You're going to do a bit of fly tipping. So I slowed right down, almost got off my bike. And then this lady came out of the door, I think I have told you, and she got suspenders on.
No.
So they weren't fly tipping at all. They weren't fly tipping, were they? They were obviously there in their lunch break.
She got out of the car, just suspenders and nothing else.
No. She had it like, I think she worked in a building site. She had like one of those suits on. But no.
Oh, a skirt suit.
Yeah. So obviously that's what they were doing. But I looked like I was sort of slowing down.
Oh, you wanted to join in.
So that wasn't a very good look.
But anyway, if you were going to sort of wipe on the window and see, if, you know, because it's a bit steamed up, knock on the window. Do you mind? It's a bit steamed up. I can't see very clearly. I'd like to see exactly what you're doing.
So apart from fly tipping this week, I've been on mask duty to get back to masks.
Yeah.
And do you know what? The bus drivers are not wearing the masks. And so I cycled up to one the other day and he got his window down, which was obviously my entree.
Fucking
hell. So I said, why haven't you got your mask on? You know, did all the And he said, we don't have to wear masks.
Well, I think we have to remember that on the buses, the bus drivers are now behind plastic screens. So
you're bursting my bubble now, aren't you?
I might be, Judith. I might be sending you out on your bicycle to track down that driver and apologise.
Right. But what about you? Are you on mask surveillance duty?
Well, I've got several masks. I've always got a few masks on me, Judith. I've got the one you made me, which I put in the wash right now. And then I've got some disposables. I've got a proper little... Yeah. I've got a pandemic pouch, which has got gloves and masks in it, okay? And extras for Jeff, because he's not very good at, you know, having a pandemic pouch himself.
Yeah.
I wear masks in shops. Apparently they don't like you wearing gloves, so I've got my anti-back as well.
I mean, they are quite hot, aren't they? Once you've got your glasses on and your mask, and it's, you know, when it was hot those few days ago, I went into B&Q again and it was absolutely bloody hell, you know, like you said,
you went
steamed
into BQ
up
again.
What
the fuck were you doing in BQ again?
There's always a bloody problem around this house.
I've got a bus story. I wasn't on the bus. I'm still too scared to get on the bus, but
yeah,
I'm watching. I'm sort of, you know. So Jeff and I, oh, this is exciting, Judith. We went to a non-essential shop. I know you've been B&Q-ing it up to your armpits, but Jeff and I, get this, we took the car out, we went on a day trip from Camberwell to Chelsea, we went to the Conran shop.
Bloody hell.
I know.
That's a bit better than B&Q, isn't it?
It was like being in a park, but with nice, you know, really good things on the shelves. It was like we had our walk. We counted that as our walk.
Yes. Yes, your exercise.
Spent 20 minutes marching around. It was all very well organised. You know, it was sort of stand here, stand there, somebody on the door, and there was a nice table with sort of antibacterial hand stuff on it and free masks, you know.
Free masks.
They weren't Conran, you know. I thought maybe they might have got some kitted up for, you know, with their emblem on and all that. But they didn't. They were just the medical ones, like, you know.
Have you got that one for best? Are you keeping that one for best?
And we went, you know, we didn't know what to buy. We thought we've got to buy something because we've got to show willing. So we bought a crystal wine stopper. I don't know why. It was because it was down from 80 quid to 20. who'd spent 80 quid?
What do you mean,
quid?
Just the stopper? Just the stopper?
Yeah, stopper to to put in half bottles of wine, stuff like that. Oh, yeah, okay. Anyway.
Lovely.
We were just
did it smell
willing.
Nice? Did it smell beautiful?
It really did. But it kept saying, there were all these signs saying, look with your eyes and not with your hands. And I was thinking, I can't look with my fucking eyes. I've got a mask on. I'm all steamed up. So anyway, we were coming back from the Conran shop. And it pulled up some traffic lights alongside a bus, double-decker bus, at Camberwell Green. And there must have been, probably it was at its limit, you know, 10 downstairs, 10 upstairs. And of the people that were sitting downstairs, every single one of them, apart from one Asian woman, elderly Asian woman, had pulled their mask down. They vaguely had a mask on. They had it hooked over their ears, but it was under their chin. Oh, and I just sort of, I looked at that and I thought, well, that's why I'm still not confident about getting on buses. Because
But
then I sort of also have some sympathy because, you know, I can do 20 minutes with a mask on and then I feel a bit faint and I want to sort of, you know, go outside and get some proper fresh air and that sort of thing. But and long train journeys, my cousin went up north on a train and he said, and it was a 3-hour, it was from London to Preston, it's 2.5 hours. You know, there's half the train sort of trying to keep their masks on and trying not to hyperventilate and go mad. And then the only reason why you don't have to wear a mask, apparently, is if you're taking refreshment.
Right. Oh,
so if you're sort of, you know, taking a sip of water or you're having something to eat. And he watched this woman on this 2.5-hour train journey and she took her mask off as they pulled out of Euston and she proceeded to eat non-stop.
Oh, for goodness
non-stop for 2.5 hours.
Oh, God.
So she, at no point did she ever put her mask back on because she just ate.
Dear me.
She
dear
ate. He said it was sausage rolls, it was crisps, it was non-stop. I mean,
I had been your cousin, I would have been, my entire time thinking, okay, she's chewed that, right, is there a gap there where I can go up and say, excuse me, I think you're fine.
In the notes you sent me about today's show, there was quite a lot about
anger.
And what we'd like you to do is we'd like you to email us any of the things that have really pushed you over the edge during these last few difficult weeks. It's gone on forever, hasn't it?
Oh, it's been months, hasn't it? But yes.
Difficult
months. Lockdown furies. I think we want lockdown furies, examples of in full technicolour, actually, given
just
that we have...
the small things, the small straws that have broken your camel's back. Please. Let us know. Yeah.
Yes, make us... I mean, basically what we're saying is you try and make us look a bit more normal, please, gang. Can you just give it some context for us? It is olderandwiderpod@gmail.com.
Judith, we are in July now, and it is actually your birthday month.
It is my birthday month. How nice of you to remember. Yes, and yeah, do you know what? There's a bit of a milestone coming up, actually, because you were 60 this year and I am 65 in
a few weeks. It's a semi-milestone. I don't think it's full milestone. It's a semi-big. And how do you want to celebrate? Have you got any plans?
Well, it's hard to make plans, isn't it? But what I would really, really like is to have the girls in the garden for a barbecue. That would make me really, really happy. Yeah,
I think you're allowed them in the house now. You know, I think you're allowed your bubble, and they're allowed to come stay and all that kind of thing from this Saturday, the 4th of July. There's overnight stoppings allowed. And I know this for a fact because my brother is going to stay with my mum.
Oh, I need to go and check out. All right. Well,
yeah, we need to go. The thing is, we need to Google to make sure we're right. But
we do.
I think that both you and I have got out of the habit of having people actually in the house.
Totally. Totally.
And I'm not sure whether it's how long it's going to take me, you know, if people come around for me to sort of just ushering them through. Right, straight through, back, open, back doors open, out you go. I quite like that because nobody can see how dirty my house is or how untidy I've been.
Well, and then they can't hang around, can they? It starts to get a bit rainy or a bit windy, they have to go.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You know. Yeah. No, I know, I'm going to miss that. I really am going to miss that, actually. In fact, even just hearing you describing it, it's like the invasion will slowly but surely happen, won't it? People will come round for a drink. Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, God.
And then you'll have to do some nibbles.
Oh.
Next thing you know, it'll be a buffet. Oh, Christ. I'm
Here
so glad
again.
I haven't got any friends.
Here we go. I know. But listen, I have socialised in the last week. Outside in the garden.
You don't need to. You talk to me once a week. You don't need any other friends. What's this all about?
Yes, I have. I've been first of all, the book group that I belong to, which is, you know, it's we trained as bereavement counsellors together. So it's a very small, select book group. Very, very nice ladies. And we've only ever met, you know, in the olden days in pubs and wine bars and things. And so I've never been to any of their houses. And then one of them said, well, why don't you come sit in our garden for the next one? So we thought, all right then. And Went to one of their houses and she was in the Cotswolds. I got completely lost. I got so lost, even with Satnab, that her husband had to pilot me in. We're talking, you know, phone on speaker.
But this is
right,
you,
what
Judith.
Can you see now?
You are the most competent woman I know, apart from when you have to follow directions or instructions.
Absolutely.
At which point you just go, no, I want someone to do this. It's like when we went on that beading course at the WI and you just wanted the teacher to help you all the time. You're more than capable, Judith. You're more than capable. Anyway,
well,
you got there.
Not. Anyway, so the equivalent of Miss talking me through it.
Yeah.
So we got there. So pulled up in this into this sort of, Jenny, it was a mansion.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So I pulled up. Huge, one of those huge houses. It was all oak and stone, but worse than that, talking a moat. We are talking a moat, Jenny. A moat.
Oh dear! It's not just not just a sewage pipe that had broken and flooded down the house. It's a proper moat.
And you know that thing where you have to try and make your face look like it's not really full.
I wouldn't bother.
Envy.
I'd just go, "Fuck me! Look at your moat."
It was. I mean, you know, envy, disappointment was written all over my face, Jenny. I just, you know, it was like, "Oh, what a lovely place! Oh God, why don't I live in a place like this?" It was basically. It's gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous.
No, you've got to back down from this because you live in a very nice house and you're a very fortunate woman.
I want you to repeat that after me.
I live in a very nice house and I'm a very fortunate woman.
I do.
And
listen,
then you can just say, but I haven't got a fucking moat. I haven't got a moat.
But you know, it's like real art. Oh, beautiful house. It had a kind of TV room that sort of jutted out towards the moat. Lots of glass and gorgeous art and beautiful colours and, you know, gorgeous underfloor heating. Went to the loo, Because you know, you are allowed to do that, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah.
And she had underneath the basin, she had, you know, like in really posh toilets, like if you go to a really posh hotel, it had those rolled up flannels in a sort of stony grey colour, all ready to put in the basket next. I mean, you know, probably a good idea for her. I didn't do it, but the thought went through my head.
One, nearly nicked
well,
one. Yeah.
I just thought, well, if I had one, you know, I might feel like I've evened things up a bit. I mean, that's awful. Am I a horrible person? Yes, I am. I'm vile. I'm vile.
Well, no, you're not. You're not. But it's a funny thing with you because you are so fortunate. And now and again, you do. I mean, the thing is with me is that I don't go out much. Jealousy is totally, for me, is totally professional.
Yes.
It's very seldom about things that people have because I'm quite. This is how horrible I am. I'm quite capable of looking at a very beautiful house and just thinking, yeah, but I bet they're miserable with each other. I bet they're really, I bet they're bored shit.
That's your equivalent of the towel nicking, isn't it?
That's the way I can cope with them having done better than me. But I find it very difficult, and I always have, coping with people being more successful than I have been professionally. And it's not so bad now, having been frantic about my career for so many years, it is a huge relief to just go, I've done quite a lot. It's okay. It's okay not to have to keep that up now.
Enjoy the back catalogue, as you said in your article. Yeah. Oh, that's good, Jenny. I mean, I do think that's a really, really positive thing. I mean, that certainly happened to me. And it was a flash of envy, and I'm not proud of myself, but she's a lovely, lovely, lovely woman.
Well, I like the fact that she's doing some charity work.
Yes, of course. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, very, very good point.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
And then I had a second socialising thing with another interesting group of women, what I occasionally meet. And
Why do you meet this lot for? What are you meeting this lot for? Who are they? You've got your swimming lot, your book lot. Who's this lot?
I'm very gregarious, me. And a mixture of age groups. Started by a very interesting woman who was one of the first sex therapists in the country, who's now in her 90s. Right. But anyway, told you they were
interesting. She's the one you met in that car down the Country Lane that got out of the car with the suspenders on.
And it was very nice, actually, to get out and have a chat. Do you know what I mean? I think I have sort of rather missed that, really, apart from my chats with you. Yeah. Well, two things happened, really. One, the hostess, I noticed, had a tattoo on the top of her ear. She's a barrister. She's in her mid-50s, very, very together, very bright.
When you say the top of her ear, was it on the skin behind her ear or actually on her ear? Curve of her ear?
No, not on the curve, just inside. So just, inside. Very subtle, very, very subtle. And it was of a daisy. And it's the first time I've ever looked at somebody with a tattoo and thought, oh, that would be quite nice. It was sort of, I think maybe that's another sign of getting so old that you need to be saying to the young people and other people, look, you know, I might be soaking my muesli overnight, but actually I'm quite interesting. You know, it's... I felt it was a very...
You need some physical manifestation, don't you, to sort of say, I am not going into the old age in beige. I'm not beige.
Yes.
I'm not beijing.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I suppose if you're Prue Leaf, you have the big glasses and the big necklace and all that. And, you know, we all do different things. And I do a bit of high vis, like a lot of other women. But I just thought, oh, I caught myself. I thought, my God, that would be quite... I could really shock the girls.
Do you know what? I'm insisting that you have this done for your 65th birthday now, Judith.
Oh, sure,
and I have a suggestion for you. Because, you know, I think you should have something that denotes one of your main passions in life, and that is for you to swimming. And I think you should have a big fuck off mermaid at one leg. I really do. I genuinely think
that is a big challenge.
Yeah, a big mermaid. I used to talk about having tattoos done in How to Be a Middle-Aged Woman, because I always wanted a tattoo, but my mother was really funny about them. So I was thinking about having a tattoo done, and I said in the show, I was thinking maybe of having a fail-safe pancake recipe written in Sanskrit at the inside of my forearm, you know, a bit like David Beckham. I think that you should genuinely think about having a very small, subtle tattoo done for your 65th birthday, because you obviously want one.
Yes, I'm going to think about that. I'm going to think about that. Yes,
what would you have done? Seriously, have you got a sort of, have you lain awake in the middle of the night thinking?
No, I haven't got that bad. No, but I think a mermaid. I mean, I can see that there's logic in the mermaid, and it is a good way, isn't it, of getting into the conversation, which is, oh yes, I'm a wild swimmer. I swim every morning, which is always a conversation I like bringing out, because that is very much, you know, look, I might be a size 16, 18, and, you know, got a fucking huge bust, but listen, get me. Put that in your pipe and smoke it,
absolutely,
you young person.
Absolutely, anyway. Judy. Yeah. We're getting into our culture round now. So our culture roundup of the week. Judith, what's caught your eye?
Well, I, like everybody, I've watched some of the Talking Heads, the Alan Bennett remakes. Have you seen any of those?
I'm really sorry. I've got a terrible admission to make, but I have got an awful Sopranos habit. I mean, it's not even funny anymore, Judith. I mean, I'm just not watching anything else. It's appalling. I mean, Jeff and I have conversations about it, because it's like a sort of, we're in some kind of AA group, and every night we go, we should watch something else, shouldn't we? Yeah, we should. We should look at the TV schedule.
Of course she shouldn't.
And then I go, what do you really want to watch? He goes, Sopranos. What about you? I go, Sopranos. I haven't watched anything else. So tell me what else is going on
season?
On real television.
Which season are you on? How many seasons have you got?
Season three now.
Are you really? Oh, you've been motoring through them. How many a night?
We're doing two a night.
Two a night? It's great, though, when you get into that, isn't it? I mean, we are, possibly to a lesser extent, Mike and I are into Mad Men. Exactly the same. We did two last night. And I, the same as you, I think, do you know what? I think Peggy is going to get pregnant by so-and-so. That's what I think. That's what I think.
You're living their lives.
You were living their lives. That's right. I know. It's,
because it's a safe life to enter. Well, it's not really with Sopranos particularly. But by comparison to sort of real life now, it's taking me back to a time that, you know, the pandemic wasn't on the horizon.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm just in. I'm 20 years ago and everything's different and it's all okay. So you've seen a couple of the Talking Heads. What do you think?
Well, I was a bit underwhelmed, really. I mean, people have been raving about it. And I know your feeling is that, for goodness sake, why didn't they sort of commission some new stuff? And I think that's absolutely right, really. I mean, there've been two new ones. And the one, and I've only seen one, the one with Sarah Lancashire, who's, you know, just fantastic, isn't she?
She
did one. And I loved it. And I think I loved it because it was current. I mean, it was nothing to do with the pandemic. But, you know, it had all those kind of references somehow that were relevant to us. Amazing acting by her. So I would really recommend that. I've really been enjoying the sort of archive of Glastonbury. I think, well, lots of reasons. I've never been to Glastonbury and I'm always like a kid looking through the window and thinking, I want to go.
That's so you, Judith.
It's absolutely my problem.
The actual reality of going there is really hard fucking work.
Have you been?
Yeah, I've been about three times, but always to work. And, you know, which I've always found it quite frightening because you can't guarantee your audience at a place like that, because it's a sort of, it tends to be whoever is nearby when you're
kind of
stumbles onto your set.
Oh, yes.
So I've had some pretty kind of duff times at those kind of festivals. Because of the anxiety that goes with that, I haven't ever been able to relax for the two or three days or whatever. And I remember one, and I was doing a set on the comedy stage, and I was also working for Radio 4. So instead of a tent, we were in this kind of caravan thing, but it was quite a posh one. There were like, I had a double bed and Phoebe came with me. She was about 15.
Lovely.
I took her out of school.
Oh, wow.
And yeah. She was worried. She goes, are you sure I won't get into trouble? Oh, fuck it. You're going to get one chance, love. you know, we've got a caravan
that gave you some
in the
street care, didn't it?
Yeah, in the performer's area, you know.
Wow.
And she had a great time, and I was just a bit neurotic all weekend. I was just worried about this gig. I was really worried about Phoebe seeing me fail, so I wouldn't let her come see me do the gig at Glastonbury because it was just too risky. And there was somebody else I was working with, and they went off to see, I think Franz Ferdinand were on or something. So she went off and had a great time. Yeah, and it was okay, but it's I find those festivals really hard work. And I've realised something about myself after all these years that isn't particularly pleasant, Judith. I don't like being part of an audience.
Really?
Not often, no. I get a bit itchy and I can't watch music. I don't know what to do. I can't sit down and listen to music. I couldn't go to a concert. I'd want to punch myself in the face. I'd want to be unconscious. I wouldn't know what to do.
You know, the idea of
going to a classical music. Oh, God, it would be like the worst penance in the world.
Yes, I know what you mean. I think because we don't know very much about classical music, you sort of think, yeah, okay, well, you look at them all, don't you? Think, okay, well, she might be going out with him, and you know, she looks a bit frumpy, and you know, he's not very good, isn't he? Well, I bet he's bossy and all that stuff. And then you think, oh, I must listen to the music. Yeah.
Look at me listening to this music. Watch me. Yeah. Looking interested. I'm so interested in this music.
I should be really enjoying this.
I want to take that back a bit about saying that, you know, I don't like being in an audience. I have had some wonderful moments in audiences, really kind of glorious, mostly watching stand-up, actually. I've had nights watching stand-ups where I have been in pain from laughing and just the room has been so full of joy.
Wow.
That it's... Yeah, and I also, there have been moments watching Phoebe's plays, you know, in the early days when she just started writing, and I sort of realised that she was a very good writer. And there were sort of some glorious moments with that as well. And I think that's what I miss now. I miss being in a room with people all on the same wavelength, really laughing together.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what else? What else on your cultural radar?
Well, the book group aforementioned has chosen Grown Ups by Marianne Key, so I should be listening to that.
Such a joy, that book.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. But I mean, obviously, I won't be able to report into the gang on a new book in that sense, so I shall have to get two on the go together. What are you reading?
Well, finally, Jeff and I have finished the Beatles book, all 150 chapters, Judith.
And that is ridiculously
long. But it was really, really enjoyable. And I, what it's left me with, though, is a kind of yen to know more about the women in the Beatles' lives, because that is the only thing that gets really skimmed over in this Craig Brown book. I mean, it's a great book and I thoroughly recommend it. And Jeff and I listened on audio and it's a fantastic nighttime book. But I do think that the women are very much overlooked in it. I think there is another book, and I don't know whether anybody can recommend a really good Beatles book that discusses and, you know, positions the women, because I have to say, though, John and Yoko do not come out well at all.
Do they? No, I'm not. No. You know, I don't know whether I told you, but I met Yoko and I've met three of the four Beatles.
Judith. This is, you can't just casually drop that into conversation. You know, at the top of this show, we were shaking peppercorn jars and things with each other. And then we finished the show with you casually just saying, before we sign off, I met three out of the four Beatles and Yoko.
Well,
I want to know. Go on, I'm going to shut up now. You're going to give me the rundown of meeting the Beatles.
Well, don't forget, I was working at LWT, wasn't I, all those years ago, in that showbiz sort of bubble, really. So it's not that clever of me to have met them all, but apart from John. But let's start with Yoko. Yoko was on, I remember, Aspel & Co, and I was kind of obviously fascinated by her. And I didn't realise she'd come from quite that sort of, you know, high, rich stock that you just said. But she was on with John Cleese. And obviously you could imagine the sort of, you know, the difference in height between John Cleese and Yoko Ono. And I remember in hospitality saying to her, you know, well, look at the two of you or something like that. And I said, so how tall, can I ask you how tall you actually are? And she just looked at me and she said, oh, I'm very tall.
That's great.
And
Yoko.
I thought, yeah, you're a bright cookie, aren't you? You're bright, you know, sort of quite sort of brittle. And I suppose somebody as, I don't know what the word is for John, really. I don't know what word you would use. But, you know, he would be drawn to that, wouldn't he? He'd be drawn to that.
Did you feel the charisma enigmatic coming off Yoko? Because, I mean, oh, yeah, really, I did. She did break up the Beatles. I mean, she took him off Cynthia. And, yeah, you know, yeah, she was quite, reading what I have done, she was quite an odd woman. And did you feel a charisma coming off her? Could you?
Yes, I did, very much so. And I mean, a charisma. I mean, she, in awe of her, and she, did, you know, I didn't feel it remotely that she had any sort of interest in me. Why the hell should would she? But so very, very. What's that word? Distanced, defended, very, very defended. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And then I met again. I mean, it's all to do with these sort of chat shows that I did. Paul, very briefly. I think I might have been quite senior when he was on, so I think I met him in a sound check. And I remember he was standing on the set, and you know, with a guitar around it. I mean, you just think, bloody hell! Very, very sort of, oh my God, I'm about to be introduced to Paul McCartney, and. Yeah, but kind of couldn't stop looking at his hair. I mean, there is. I mean, I don't think it was quite as bad as it is now, in the sense that, I mean, how do you have all that money and
not
it
have
not
a decent
really look quite
colorist?
Right,
yeah.
No, no. I mean, I think that must mean that actually colouring men's hair is problematic, because surely, you know, that money would be no object. And and quite, you know, a sort of not feminine exactly, but kind of a face that sort of was used to a lot of makeup and sat well with makeup. That sort of almost, I don't know whether he'd had any work done, but kind of almost a little bit feminine sort of face. Yeah, yeah. You know, look.
Was Linda with
charming,
you?
Charming, absolutely charming, 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 charming. And then I met Ringo and George together, and they were on Aspel together. And I think my memory of that was, I think Ringo had a sort of silly pair of almost Timmy Mallet glasses on. He was going through that phase. And I sort of, he would be, you know, the kind of guy that if you were being sat next, you know, on a table at a wedding, you'd think, oh, right, I'm next to that, am I? Kind of, all right, this is going to be a bit of a struggle. It's going to be
and
quite
then you
a
look
long
again and go,
hours.
Oh, no, it's Ringo Starr. It's not just a twat.
Yeah, precisely. And then, but I remember sort of George being kind of protective of him, like a little, you know, it sort of, you know, deflecting the conversation, doing all the talking, kind of, you know, normalising, making more interesting, that sort of, yeah. I get more of a vibe off those two as a sort of, you know, the difference.
It's fascinating. I mean, it's endlessly fascinating, and it's a sort of testament to the four of them that, you know, people are still interested and people still love the music.
Totally. I
mean, you know, I've done a bit of slagging off of the music, but, you know, considering what we did at the top of the show, I would like to apologise. Right, we've had what we're going to do is if anybody's interested in joining in on our Culture Club roundup of the week, is we're going to open it out to any recommendations from you lot, any gang members who've got some burning thing they want to recommend to the rest of us. We got an email to our email address, which is, and this is the absolute one, olderwiderpod.
at gmail.com. And I beforehand I said older and wider, and it's olderwiderpod@gmail.com. what is wrong with me, honestly?
Well, it's not easy, Judith, that's all I'm going to say. I'm going to let you off the hook there. But we got an email from someone called Natasha, who's recommending a film on Amazon Prime, and there might be other platforms you can watch it on, called Days of the Bagnold Summer. Now, I've checked this out because I feel that I can't recommend unless I've done some quality checking. And this has had brilliant reviews.
It
stars Monica Dolan, who I think has been one of the actresses who's done one of the Alan Bennetts. And I've worked with Monica Dolan. She is a brilliant actress. And Earl Cave. Now, Earl Cave is the surviving twin son of Nick Cave. And I think he's sort of about 15 or 16 now. And interestingly, this film, which is a sort of mother-son kind of coming of age and, you know, over a summer, is directed by Simon Bird, who we all know is the hapless Will in The Inbetweeners. So if I can get out, if I can burst my Sopranos bubble,
take a holiday,
Natasha,
take a holiday from
I might
the Sopranos.
Take a holiday from New Jersey and just go to, see, you know, spend a night with the Bagnold summer, I will do that. So thank you to Natasha.
Yes, very
for
much
that.
So.
But book-wise, I'm still on Nightingale Lane, and I've also downloaded the Demi Moore biography, and I'm hoping there's not too much crystal healing. And instead, I hope there's a great deal of drink, drugs, tattoos and Bruce Willis in it, and lots of Hollywood dirt. I'm only a few minutes into that, but I'll keep you posted. We're now on to emails, Judith. Emails, what's caught your eye?
Well, Michelle, 56, suggested a name for the puppy, what I'm getting, because, as I explained last week, Ellen has got a kitten called Marbles. And she said, why don't you call the dog Elgin, as in Elgin Marbles. Isn't that brilliant?
Yeah.
That's really clever.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering whether Michelle, 56, Michelle, 56, is good at crosswords. Don't you think she sounds like the sort of person...
Oh, you mean cryptic crosswords?
Yeah, I'm rubbish at those.
I'm absolutely rubbish.
It's so bad at crosswords.
So bad at those. I can do the easy one in The Guardian, but anything cryptic, I tense up, seize up.
I can't even do the easy one in the Guardian. I'm so bad. I think if the gang has got any clues and any tips for me to start doing crosswords, I would welcome that, because honestly,
You're going to have to get one of those books that women take on coach journeys. Judith.
Oh, the kind of
puzzle
books.
You
know, I think I'd like that. Sue Phelps, 67 and a quarter, suggests she suggested I get a dog sling. Yeah. Now, I think this sounds quite interesting. You know those things that we used to carry babies around?
Yeah.
Apparently they do them for dogs. Well, it's probably the same thing, aren't they? But they do them for puppies.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
I quite fancy that. I could potter on, do everything and have the puppy around my neck.
It's interesting that she wrote in this week, because I actually saw, I was dropping some veg off at my sister's down the road, and a woman crossed the road, and I thought, oh, it's a young woman with a baby. And not a baby, doggy.
And the doggy had a doggy in it, did she?
She had the doggy in the sling, and the doggy was looking out, and it was like a hairy baby, basically. You know. But sometimes with small babies, you have them nestling face to your bosom, don't they? But this was a sort of, I think it was before it had had its jabs. It wasn't allowed out in the park yet.
Yeah.
So she was just, she wanted to give the doggy some fresh air. And so she was walking around with it in a sling. It looked really happy.
I'm getting on to that. You know, Sue Phelps, 67 and a quarter. Thank you. I'm going to get on to that.
That's another thing you can buy for that spoilt dog. I would like to finish this podcast, Judith, by congratulating you on your very triumphant chest of drawers, which you put a picture up on our Instagram page, which looks so professionally done.
It's a bit, you know, compared to your decoupage, it's very, very, it's in the sort of, you know, boring end of things, isn't it? But no, I enjoyed doing it. I tell you what I really enjoyed is using my new electric sander, a little portable electric sander. I've had hours of fun with that, and I can see, you know, it didn't go on my feet.
You were tempted.
On the heels.
Yeah.
The thought went through my head, but I, marvellous. Hours
of
fun.
Honestly,
what I'm saying.
You can. It's got a silky finish. I can see the silky finish
it
on
has.
That chest of drawers.
Thank you.
It's very
Thank
nice
you.
Indeed. And just something to finish off with. I have found myself being very angry again in the last week or so. And I sat down, did some more drawing the other day, and immediately I started to breathe and feel a bit better. So I
Isn't
do
that
think that all of us have got to remember that the creative process, whether it's whatever you want to do, baking, drawing, knitting, it does help. So,
Yep.
Anyway,
so
good luck.
Send in some pictures of that.
So if you're feeling creative and you want to put anything up on Instagram, hashtag us into it so we can see your works. And that'd be lovely. Listen, Judith, will you remind me what day your birthday is, what date it is?
It's the 25th, but don't feel that you have to send me a glorious present. Listen, I owe you a 60th present. I never gave you a present because by then we were into lockdown. Have you got a blender, by the way?
Oh, God. What would I want a blender for?
No.
I haven't got a blender, but I don't want one. Don't make me have a blender.
Okay,
I've got a hand
okay.
blender. Oh, yes, I have got a blender. That's the thing you make soup in.
Yes.
I've got
one
of those.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I don't want two. I haven't got cupboard room for two.
Right, so I've got my instrument ready for going out.
let's accompany. Let's pretend we're at Glastonbury, right? And David Bowie is... is centre stage, and we are those cute chicks behind him doing the accompaniment, okay?
Oh, yes. Nice idea.
So, okay. David Bowie has decided to do an instrumental song to the theme, the Older and Wider theme tune. That's what he's doing on stage at Glastonbury. Judith, you and I, and we're in gold leather hot pants at the back of the stage, right? So let's do some shaking. Thanks all.
Bye, gang.
Bye, everyone.
See you next week.
Woo! Hey! Hey, Glastonbury! Yay! Good to see ya!
Listen to this Acast show ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.